Lamed Kislev, Rosh Chodesh Aleph, Vov Chanukah, Monday the 22nd of December, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Chanukah and Al Hanisim.
Good morning, everybody. Chodesh, Chanukah. As Alan just pointed out, the sheet says a topical theme. You know, there are code words in the Torah way. When it says topical theme, that means that Dudi, when he asked you, you didn't know what you're speaking about. Yesterday, I could see he had a tough week, Dudi, because yesterday was Inyana de Yoma. Today was a topical theme, and tomorrow is Chanukah. So obviously, but you'll be pleased to know I have got a theme, and it's a very, very interesting one. It's, as Anna said, it's Chanukah and Ala Nisim. The starting point is a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Tov Resh Pei Beis Sif Aleph. There should be handouts. There's some spares if you want. So Simon Tov Resh Pei Beis Sif Aleph. The Mechaba says Kol Shmoina Simei Chanukah, all 8 days of Chanukah, Oime Al Hanisim. We say Al Hanisim, Bebirchas Hamazon, Bebirchas Haaretz. In benching, we say Al Hanisim in Birchas Haaretz, which means, of course, we say it after Noidelecha in the bracha of Birchas Haaretz. Why there? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Hatam Zekula Milsa to Chanukah Ikara Hoidahi, because the central theme of Chanukah is Hoidah, and therefore that's the natural place to say it. The Mechaba carries on and says, Uvit Tvila Bebirchas Moedim. And in Shmoneh Esra, we say it's in Moedim. Now, V'im Loi Omar, if a person didn't say Al Hanisim, Ein Machzirin Esra, we don't make him go back. He doesn't go back. Umihu, however, im Nizkar, Bo'is Abrocha, calls Manshle, Hiskes Hashem, Afir Nizkar Ben Atzol Hashem Choyza. If, however, he remembers, and so, for example, in Shmoneh Esra, before he says, Baruch HaTva Hashem, HaTov Shimcha L'Chom Yoledos, before he says the Shem Hashem, then he can go back. Even if he remembers after the word Ato, he said, Baruch Ato, and he hasn't, and then he said, Al Hanisim, he goes back to Al Hanisim, and but otherwise, once he's missed that point, he doesn't go back. Now, the Ramah adds something very interesting. Says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, if a person forgets Al Hanisim in benching, when he reaches the Rachman, it's very easy to happen because Al Hanisim you say after Noidelecha, and normally the insertions go in at Ritzei or Yalav Yovei, they go later on. So sometimes, let's say today, you may be benching and you get to Yalav Yovei and say, Al Hanisim. So you missed it. However, says the Ramah, when you get to later on the Horachmas towards the end of benching, Yoma, a person can add and he can say, Horachamon Yasil on a Nisim Viniflois, Kashem Shosis Avsein, Bahamahim Basmanazer, etc., etc. So you can slot it in at the end of benching by the Horachmas. Good, that's the Ramah.
The beginning of the Rachman or the end of the
Horachmas? I guess you say the Horachman of for Rosh Chodesh today, and then you say the Horachman for Nisim. Or maybe the other way around. Either way, at that point, you say the Rachmans. No, that's right. So the Rachmans, where you say, Yanach Lein Yom Shkul Shabbos, those are Rachmans. Now, I came across an article, an essay, in the beautiful Sefer Mishcha Shemen. Maybe you're familiar with it. It's the Sefer of Reb Chaim Shaul Kaufman, Zecharin Levroch of Gateshead. He has a beautiful, beautiful pieces, and he brings a very interesting kasha from the Sefer, the Bechor Shor, on this Ramah. Listen to this interesting question. The Gemara said, the Mishnah says in Brachas, the Mishnah says in the ninth parak of Brachas, hoyste ishtam uberes, a person's wife is pregnant, va'omar, and the fellow says, yirotzoin sheteled ishti zocher, may it be your will, HaKadosh Baruch, that my wife gives birth to a boy. Harizu tfilas shov. That is a pointless tfilah. That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Gemara, why? What's the problem? We don't see anyone else. We don't see a precedent for this. We've got a precedent for this. What's the precedent? Says the Gemara in Brachas Daf Samach, in the second box, paragraph 2. V'loi mahani rachmi, says the Gemara. Does davening not help for this? Mosir Rav Yosef asked Akasha. V'achar yolda bas v'tikra shmodina. The Pasuk says that after Leah gave birth to her 6 sons, the Pasuk says, Va'achar, and after Yolda Bas, and she called her Dina. My the acha. What does it mean after? After what? Says the Gemara, Omirav, la acha shedono lea din ba'atzmo. Leah made a certain din, she sort of applied a svara to herself. What does she say? For Omro. I know, Baruch HaKodesh, that Yaakov Avinu is going to have 12 sons and 12 shvatim. Shisha yotzim many. I've already produced 6 of them. V'arba min hashvachos. Bilha and Zilpah have produced 2 each. Hari Asorah, that's 10. I've already got one. Rachel has already got one child. Yosef has been born. So there's one child left to be born. Im ze zochar, and if I have this child, and he's a male, then loitei achosi Rachel kachas hashvachos. My sister Rachel is only going to have one of the shvatim, and she'll have less than the shvachos, who have 2 each. So miyad nebcha lebas. Immediately, the child that Leah was carrying became changed from a zochar to an akeva. Shenema vatikro es shema dina, and she called him Dina. She called it, her, Dina. Okay. So what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is that how can the Mishnah say, well, you can't daven for Shabir Zohar, Leah daven for Shabir Zohar? So the Gemara gives 2 answers. The Gemara says, number 1, Ein maskirin maisa nisim. Which means, the Mefarshim explained that to mean, you don't mention maisa nisim, i.e., Leah, someone who is on such an exalted high spiritual status, she can daven for nisim. But the Hamoin Am, me and you, we don't daven for these sort of things. So we don't mention Maisa Nisim, you can't bring me a raya from there. So you shouldn't daven. The Gemara gives a second answer, Maisa Zaleh B'teich HaBoim Yoim Hava. Within the first 40 days, which means that the main organs of the body have not been formed until 40 days, and therefore you can daven within 40 days, but beyond 40 days, then it's a Tefillas Shov. I once asked Rabbi Leff about this, Rabbi Zev Leff, and he told me that modern science says, maybe you can back me up, Doctor, but modern science says that the main organs are formed within the first 6 weeks after conception. So my left told me, he goes, they're only 2 days out. That's what he says. Because yeah, they say 42 days, but the Gemara says 40 days. But it's interesting that it's the same thing. Either way, the Gemara answers Maisa Nisim. What does that mean? That the Hamoin Am, we don't daven for Nisim. And therefore, we don't daven to daven shetelid ishti zocha, she should change from one gender to the other, that's inappropriate. Says the Mishcha Hashem, he brings a kasha of the Bechor Shor. The Bechor Shor asks a fascinating question. The Ramah says that if you forget al hanisim, you can slot it in at the end, you can say, horachamon hu yaseh lon nisim. How can you daven for nisim? The Gemara in Bracha says you're not allowed to daven for nisim. Pasha Kasha, how can you say Horachaman Hu Yaseh Lonu Nisim? You're not happy with that.
Awesome.
What?
Very good.
It's good Kasha? Good Kasha. So there are a few answers that he brings several answers. A few answers that I'll share. Just 3 short answers because this is just the intro. One answer that the Bechor Shor gives is that when we say Horachaman Hu Yaseh Lonu Nisim, what are we saying? What are we actually referring to when we say Al Hanisim? That's Bayom Mohim Bazman Azeh, what are we referring to? He says we're referring to Moshiach. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Moshiach. Now that is not considered Maisa Nisim, which violates this Gemara. Why? Because there are open psukim which tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do Nisim v'Niflois when Moshiach comes. So for example, the Pasuk says, Ki Meid Seischom Eretz Mitzrayim Erenu Niflois. I'm going to show you Niflois at the time, like they were in Mitzrayim. So you're just asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform Nisim and Niflois that will take place to bring Moshiach. So that's not a problem. That's not considered, you know, davening for a gender change of your child from a Nekeva to a Zohar. Okay, that's one answer. The Mo'ad Muzmanim also discusses this, and he says that only general requests are okay. Specific Nisim, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for specific Nisim, that's inappropriate. So for example, a person needs Parnosa. So to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me Parnosa. And even in miraculous ways. But to specify how you want it to happen, that's considered inappropriate. Okay, that's the second answer. Now, the third answer, it's very interesting. The third answer is that we distinguish between natural Nisim and supernatural Nisim. In other words, the best example of this is actually Chanukah. You see, when we think of the Nisim of Hanukkah, what's the first thing that comes to mind? You know, yesterday I gave the shiur to the boys in school. It was a very interesting experience. So to bring out this point, when I wanted to ask the boys to elicit from them, what are the Nisim of Hanukkah? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? So I played word association with them. You know word association? I say apple, you say orange. Knife, fork, yeah? So I said to them, I played that, and then I said, Nisim of Hanukkah. I said to them, apple. What do you think the response was? iPhone. That was their initial response to apple.
What was it?
Oh. We'll explain afterwards. iPhone. Yeah? Have you ever had that? Yeah, there you go. You read a Satyrus. Anyway, so I quickly moved on to Hanukkah. So Hanukkah, so if I ask them, what are the Nisim of Hanukkah? So then, what would you say? There are two Nisim. One is the Shemen, and one is the battle. One is the Mechoma. Now, there are two different Mechoma, but both of these Nisim, they bring out the difference between, they bring out the point I'm trying to make, i.e., the battle is a natural victory. Nothing supernatural. We're not violating any rules in Maisa Bereishis. They accord with the halachas of Teva. Mashenke in the Shemen, that's lemala min ha-teva. You take a jug of oil, which is meant to last for one day, and it lasts for 8 days, that's over and above. That's supernatural. You know, I said to the boys yesterday, the Mechome is not supernatural. It's a massive, massive nace. There's no question about it. But it's not supernatural. When they fought against Yevonim, there was no Kriyas Yamsuf, there was no... HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't change the rules of nature for this Mechoma. True, it was a massive nace. There were 13 men. I said to the boys, we're in the base of Medrash in Hasmonean, we're 13 Rebbes. So can you imagine, Rabbi Hartman brings us in a staff meeting. He says, Rabbeisai, we're 13 Rebbes, I've got an idea. Yeah, we're going to battle against the British army. You know, and Roy Konig is looking at Roy Tugendhat, he's looking at me, and we're thinking that Rabbi Hartman has lost it. Now, of course, Chasron would never do that. But when the 13 men were fighting against Yevonim, they weren't breaking the rules of Teva. It was a huge nace. It was a massive nace. But when they fought and they hit, it was not against the rules of Teva. That was a natural miracle as opposed to the Shemen, which was a supernatural miracle. Says the Bechar Shem, a very interesting answer. There are differences between what we're davening for. When the Gemara in Bracha says you can't daven Ein Mazkirin Ma'aseh Nisim, that is referring to supernatural miracles. We can't daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should change the way He created the world. But natural miracles would be okay. And therefore, when the Ramah says, HaRacham Anu Yasan and Nisim Niflois, we're referring to natural miracles. Fine. Very neat answer. And the truth is, there's precedent for this. There's a Gemara, the Mishcha Shemen brings the famous story in Shabbos Nun Gimel. Maisa Be'echot Shemesa Ishtoi, a man, unfortunately his wife passed away. And he had a child, a young child, who was still feeding. And he couldn't pay a wet nurse to feed him. And a nace, a miracle happened, that he formed dadim, that he was able to feed his child. Omer of Yosef, what an amazing man. So Omer Abaya, nothing amazing about that. Other Abba. How despicable is this person that he's caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the rules of Teva? So it's the supernatural miracles which are considered inappropriate, but the natural miracles are okay. Okay, that's the answer to the question. Now, with this, we can answer a famous question. There's a famous question, I can see there are donuts going around. So everyone's having a donut. After you have a donut, you make alamichyo. But today on Rosh Chodesh, the question is pronounced. Why is it that we don't make reference to Hanukkah in the Alanisim, in the Alamichya, sorry, but we do to Rosh Chodesh? Pesach, Sukkos, Shavuos, we make reference to it, Shabbos, but when it comes to Hanukkah and Purim, we don't make any reference to it. Good Kasha? Why not? Sorry? What are the Deraisa?
Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, Shabbos.
Okay, maybe that's the chiluk, good, but the rice, you mentioned the rice, but the trouble is, when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, when it comes to other benching, we mention it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. I'm going to present three answers. Now, the first answer is given by the Mishcha Shemen brings it. He quotes someone called the Nimuke Erechaim, and he brings an answer, a fascinating answer, based on exactly what we've just said. There's a difference between supernatural miracles and regular miracles. It's wrong to daven for supernatural, for the nisim, which are lamala minateva. Therefore, when we were to daven in alamichya, we'd have to be consistent with our loshen hatfilah. What loshen do we use in our tefillah in alamichya? Zochreinu l'toyva b'yom reshachodesh hazeh, samcheinu b'yom chakamatzos hazeh. It's a request. Samcheinu, zochreinu. To be consistent on Chanukah, we would have to say, Horachamon huyas lonu nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do nisim for us. That, says the Nemukei Arachayim, violates the Gemara in Brachos, where it's not appropriate to daven for nisim. So therefore, the first answer is, the reason why we don't mention Alam Nisim, or any reference to Chanukah in the Alam Michya, is because you cannot daven for nisim, it violates the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach. No, but you're not praising, that's the point. You'd have to use a loshon which is consistent with the Nusach HaTfilah, and just like all the other inserts would be Zochreinu or Samcheinu, which is a request, so too you'd have to say Harachman or Yaslon Nisim. That would be the expression. That would be the loshon. And that's inappropriate. Huh?
Who made for us?
Who Yaslon Nisim. You should do for us Nisim. You should make for us Nisim. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's one answer. Now the second answer is beautiful. It's the famous answer. If anyone, you ask people about this question, they'll tell you Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisk gives an answer. I printed it out here from the Mishchah Shemet. Let's do it inside. It will take about 5 minutes, but it's so beautiful that it answers other questions as well. So let's take a look. It's in paragraph 6 on the second side of your sheet. Yeah, paragraph 6, number 2, from the Mishchah Shemet, the Reb Chaim Kaufman. V'agon Reb Chaim Brisk Zatzal Tirets shebetfila shehi atzmo kitzur ein meisifin oleh shum kitzur noisof. Any tefillah which itself is an abbreviated form is a kitzur. You can't have a kitzur in a kitzur. Okay, al hanisim hu kitzur is itself an abbreviated tefillah. It's not a full tefillah. She meisifin meteich brocha that you add it in. Valamichya hi kitzur, and alamichya is a kitzur itself. Shal brachas hamazon. It's a contraction of the Birchas HaMazon. Lahochi ein oimer meisai, therefore you don't say it, mishum shu kitzur b'toich kitzur. Masha ein ken yale v'yovoi, surely that's also a kitzur, it's a short insertion. Masha ein ken yale v'yovoi, or it say, shelef omim hein brocha b'fnei atzmo, because sometimes yale v'yovoi and it say, are a brocha b'fnei atzmo. Now, I brought in a bencher, that in some benches you see this, some you don't. After Yalav Yovah in Ritzei, he's got a section in this bencher, Brochus L'Shochach Ritzei or Yalav Yovah. If you forget Ritzei or Yalav Yovah at certain points, there's a brocha you make. For example, on Shabbos, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Nosen Shabbosos L'Melucha L'Am Yisrael, B'Yavo Lo Yisrael Bris, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh HaShabbos. And similarly for Yom Tov, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Nosen Yom Tov L'Am Yisrael, L'Soson L'Simchas Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, for example, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim. So there is a proper brocha that you add in if you forget Yalav Yovah Ritzei at certain points in benching. Okay? So says Reb Chaim, Lahoch Yeno, Masha'en Ken Yalav Yovah Ritzei, Shelef'om Mehim Brocha B'fnei Atzmo. They are a brocha in and of themselves. Mishum She'im Shachach Ritzei, Yalav Yovah, Oime Baruch. Therefore, when it comes to Al HaNisim, you don't put a kitzur in a kitzur. You don't put an abbreviated tefillah in Alamichya, which itself is an abbreviated tefillah. Masha'en ken yala v'yovoi, or Ritzei, since sometimes that itself is a full bracha, as we just saw, therefore it's not considered a kitzur, and therefore you can put it in the middle of Alamichya. Fine. And then he adds, with that, two fascinating questions. Ubozer tiritz mareinu hagon, Reb Arya Zeid Gurvitz, Reb Leib Gurvitz. Reb Leib, with using this Reb Chaim, Reb Leib Gurvitz answered a great question. He answers Krushi Atzum, I'm in the middle paragraph of that box. Madua onu oimrim samcheinu v'zochreinu acha birchas ben Yerushalayim b'alamichya. Have you ever thought about this? In the Nusach of Alamichya, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, when it comes to Yom Tov, the Nusach we add in comes after Ubayne Yerushalayim, but the Brach of Ben Yerushalayim. But when we say it in benching, we should actually say it before. Why is that? Good question. The Tirutz, and he uses this answer of Chaim's Chiddush to answer the question. The Tirutz, Kivin Shesham Omer Moshe B'Mokum Bracha Im Shachach La Omer Mifnei Ben Yerushalayim Amen. In other words, what is the reason we are allowed to make reference to it in Alamechia? Because it's a bracha b'fnei atzma. When does it appear as a bracha b'fnei atzma? Only after Boni Yerushalayim. So its whole legitimacy to appear in Alamechia is only because it's a bracha b'fnei atzma. When is it a bracha b'fnei atzma? Only after the bracha of Boni Yerushalayim. Brilliant. And then he answers one final question. Umataritz bozeh kushi acheres aloshem v'samcheinu. Why is it, k'shemas kirin yontuf ala michya, we say the lashon of samcheinu b'yom chag ha-matzis hazeh? But yet, v'ein olu omrim v'zochreinu k'meshem b'yal v'yovoi, in yal v'yovoi we don't say v'samcheinu, we say v'zochreinu. Why v'samcheinu? V'hatiritzu k'shemas kirin b'ala michya, kivin shezeh brocha b'fnei atzmo, v'shom omrim lashon v'samcheinu, because it's based on the lashon of the brocha if you forget. And the brocha of the lashon if you forget is v'samcheinu. So therefore, again, its whole raison d'etre to be in Alamichya is only based on this brach if you forget. And therefore, you've got to say the Lashon of the Samcheinu. Seder. That's just an added piece. You can look over it again if you want to review it. A final answer to our question. Again, what's our question? Our question is, why don't we make reference to Chanukah in Alamichya? So we've seen two answers. One answer is the Nemukei Arachayim, that you can't request Nisim. You can request Samcheinu, Zochreinu, but you can't request Nisim as per the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach. That's one answer. The second answer is that of Reb Chaim Brisk, because you can't do a Kitzur in a Kitzur. That's Reb Chaim's answer. A final answer is Amu Al Pi Drush. It's not praise, it's requesting for Nisim. Because you've got to be consistent with the Nusach of the Bracha.
What do you do Shabbos?
Huh?
What do you do Shabbos?
It's also... It's also a request. Let's carry on. There's lots to do. I've only got 8 minutes. Let me just finish off with this piece with a moshel that I heard from the name of Reb Schlesinger. Reb Schlesinger, who's the Rav here in the corner of Sinclair Grove and Goldsbein Road. He gave a tremendous moshel to answer this question. Again, why don't we mention Chanukah in Alamichya? So this is what he said. Imagine the following scenario. You have two neighbors. One is a very well-to-do guy, a very rich person, and one, unfortunately, is not. The Oshir, the rich man, he says to his neighbor, he goes, look, I can see you're struggling, let me help you out. Every Erev Shabbos, I want to give you some money to help your hotzos for Shabbos. So he says, fine. He's not too proud to take it, he's happy to take it. So every Erev Shabbos, after davening, they walk home together, the rich man gives his neighbor an envelope with £50. And it carries on week after week after week, months and years. It gets to the point where the poor man so expects the money that on Thursday night, he's not going to go to the cash machine to withdraw money to get some money to spend for Shabbos because he knows he's going to get his £50 the next morning. Now, a few years down the line, after this carries on dozens, hundreds of times, the rich man thinks to himself, you know, Pesach is coming up. Why didn't I think of it till now? How am I going to help this fellow? Instead of giving him £50 on the Friday before Pesach, I'm going to give him more. He gives him an envelope, £1,000. The poor man takes the envelope, he takes it, opens it up, and in front of him he counts out £1,000, and this is what he says. He says, thank you for the £950 which you gave me. Why? Yeah, because, you know, £50, magiali, yeah, yomi, yeah. So thank you for the £950, fine. Now, we all look cheek, exactly, right? Chutzpah, how can you do it, right? That's why we don't say Ala Nisim in Ala Michya. Why? Because we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles that happen on a day-to-day basis. We woke up this morning. Yeah, we can see, we can breathe, we can walk, we can eat, we can talk. These are nisim shebechol yom v'yom. In Moedim, where we're davening Shemoneh Esrei, where we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim shebechol yom v'yom. So then, once you said thank you for the £50, then you can say thank you for the thank you also HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim that you did in the times of Chanukah, etc., etc. When we're saying in benching, we're saying Noida Lecho, we've got a dedicated paragraph to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say thank you for the £50, then you can say thank you for the extras. But in Ala Michya, where there's no dedicated paragraph to say thank you, don't mention the £950. That's cheeky. That's chutzpah. So therefore, you only make reference to the Chanukah if you're already saying thank you for the day-to-day things. such a beautiful idea. Even if you didn't get the Reb Chaim, that is worth, that's beautiful. Okay, let me just finish with this. So we've seen that if a person forgets Al HaNisin in Birchas HaMozon, then he's allowed to say HaRachman at the end. That's what the Ramos says. The Becharish asked the question, how can it be that you can daven for Nisim? The Gemara in Shabbos said, in Brachas, Daf Samach Amud Aleph says, that the Hamoilam not allowed to daven for Nisim. So he gave three answers to it, either because the Rachman we're saying is referring to Mashiach, or is for general requests are okay, only specific requests are not okay, or that we make a difference between the natural and the supernatural. That's really what Hanukkah is all about. Because there are two Nisim on Hanukkah. There's the natural Nisim, the military victory, the Milchama, and there's the supernatural, which is the Shemen. Fine. And then we ask the Kasha about Al HaMichya, why do we mention Hanukkah? Three answers that we had. Number one, because you can't make requests for Nisim, it violates the Gemara in Brachas. Number two, we saw Reb Chaim. Number three, this beautiful Moshe of Schlesinger. Fine. But how does it connect to the Parshias? The Shloss says that it always happens that the Inyana de Yoma, the topical themes, always relate to the Parshias. So I think there's a connection between these ideas and yesterday, 2 days ago, Parshas Miketz, and also this coming Parshas Vayigash. How does it fit in? So I think it fits in as follows. There's a beautiful Beis Halevi in the beginning of Parshas Miketz. The Pasuk says, we read it on Shabbos, the Pasuk says, at the beginning of the Parsha, Vayimiketz Shnosayim Yomim Uparo Cheilim. It was after 2 years and Paro was dreaming. The Pasuk doesn't make a lot of sense, says the Beis Halevi. Because the 2 years doesn't relate to Paro's dream. It should say, and Paro had a dream, and 2 years after Yosef was in prison for a further 2 years, he was there for 10 years, for another 2 years, he came out. Why is it 2 years and then Paro had a dream? Says the Beis Halevi, it's all to do with cause and effect. When we learned in last week's parasha, we think, what happened? Paro had a dream, and because Paro had a dream, Yosef came out. Because why? He had a dream. He was agitated because he didn't know the interpretation of this dream. So therefore he asked around. And then Yosef was mentioned, yeah, there was a fellow in prison who was very good at interpreting dreams, etc., etc. So because Paro had his dream, Yosef came out. Says the Beis Halevi, nothing doing. That's not what happened. It was time for Yosef to come out. The 2 years was up. Once the 2 years was up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take Yosef out of prison. He thinks to himself, how am I going to do it? I've got a good idea. I'll pop a dream into the head of Paro. He'll need someone to interpret it. They'll need an interpreter. Yosef will come out. That's Pshat Vayimikesh Nosayim Yomim. Time was up. Now Paro Chayle. That was the cause and that was the effect. You see from this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He runs the world. He wanted Yosef to come out now. And therefore he pops the dream into Paro's head. That's Hashgacha. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world. That really is one of the messages of Hanukkah. The military victory is Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing supernatural, but totally miraculous. That's just a manifestation of the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see it in Parshas Vayigash as well. How so? Yesterday, Shabbos' Parsha, very strangely, ends on a cliffhanger. Yeah, it ends on a cliffhanger. I remember once being in years ago, I was still in school, I had a friend who was very makbid in Shai Mikra. And I remember on Sunday morning, he comes in and he says to me, something strange happened yesterday. What? He was doing the Parsha's Miketz. He was so into the Parsha, he forgot, and he got halfway into Vayigash before he realized, yeah, he was lost in the book. He was lost, yeah? The trouble is, we learn Chumash, we know the story. But he forgot himself, and he was learning the Parsha, and Parsha's Miketz ends on a cliffhanger. Now that's a very strange thing. Why? Well, think about it. Binyamin, the Ben Zakunim of Yaakov Avinu, suddenly the goblet has been put in the sack of Binyamin, and he's going through all this, and then suddenly he finds it in the sack of Binyamin, the curtain comes down, the credits roll down, see you in Shul next week. Yeah? we're worried about attendance figures on Shabbos morning. Well, what's it all about? Rabbi Lef, if I'm not mistaken, in his Sefer Outlooks and Insights, asked this question. Why are we leaving it hanging to next week? I think, if I'm not mistaken, he quotes his very choshev source for this question, his wife. His wife asked him this question. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is what he answered. With two words in this coming week's Sedra, Yosef says, Ani Yosef. With those two words, instant and total clarity. Everything suddenly made sense. With two words. Till then, there was confusion, there was lack of understanding, there was irritation, there was anger, And with two words, everything made sense. The idea is that in life, there is Hashgacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. There is Hashgacha. But we don't always understand it. Now, sometimes we have to wait a week. Sometimes we have to wait a year, 10 years. Sometimes we have to wait a lifetime. But the knowledge there is an answer of Ani Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, is a truism. And that's one of the messages of Hanukkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. He can make it that 13 people can overpower this huge empire. Sometimes you open your eyes, we do this thing now at home, Shabbos lunch, that we've, after the dessert, we have some sweets on the table. Every child has got to say a story of Hashgacha that happened to them that week. Now, it's amazing, because what anyone does for a sweet, yeah, they're already bursting by Monday. I've already got three, Daddy. Yeah, can I have my sweets now? Can I have like a payment in advance? But once you open your eyes to it, it's unbelievable. I'll finish with this. I know I've gone over, but let me just finish with this unbelievable story because it wraps it up very beautifully. Hashgach in our daily lives. A few weeks ago, you probably saw in the papers, there was a terrible snowstorm in America. So they had a picture of a place called Buffalo, New York. So it reminded me of a story that I saw in the book of Rabbi David Kaplan. David Kaplan, he tells an unbelievable story. There was a Frum businessman who was traveling, he had to travel up to north from New York on a business trip. He had a business trip first thing Monday morning, he had to leave Sunday night. The snowstorm was heavy, but he had to go to this trip. And where he was, it wasn't too bad, the snow wasn't settling yet, even though the forecast was terrible. He drives out of town, and you can see it's getting worse and worse. And it's late Sunday night, and as he's coming off the main roads, he's realizes he's not going to make much progress. He gets stranded. And as he gets stranded, he needs a place for the night. So he gets out of his car, he can't drive any further, he's walking around, he's looking for a hotel. He comes to this big building, he walks in, and he says, "Excuse me, is this a hotel?" He said, "No, it's an old age home." He said, "Look, maybe you can help me, I'm stuck, I need a place for the night. Do you have maybe a spare room?" So he said, "Yeah, we do, I'll pay you for it, fine." So he goes there, he rests the night there. He wakes up in the morning, thinks to himself, "You know what, this is a suburb of New York, maybe there's a minion in the old age home." He goes back early in the morning to the reception, there's the same fellow there, and he says, "Tell me, are there any Jewish residents in the old age home?" So he says, "There was one, Mr. Rosenberg, but unfortunately he passed away last night." He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "The Chevra Kedisha, the burial society coming?" So he said, "No, he had no family, and I called the council are going to take care of him." So he said, "Well, listen, he's Jewish, there are rules, and there's something called a burial society, a Chevra Kedisha. I'm happy to take care of it. Give me 20 minutes. "Okay." So he calls his friend who's on the Chevra Kedisha. This friend calls the head of the Chevra Kedisha and says, "Listen, there's a Meis Mitzvah in Buffalo, New York. Can we do anything about it?" He said, "But listen, this guy hasn't paid his premiums. It's going to cost a lot of money to buy a burial spot." "How much is it going to cost?" $14,000. So he calls back. He said, $14,000. So he said, "Well, I don't know what we're going to do. I haven't got that sort of money." So he said, "Look, speak to the head of the Chevra Kedisha. They've got to do something." So they call him again. The head of the Chevra Kedisha says, "You know what, I've had an idea. 20 years ago, a guy came in. He gave an anonymous donation to the Chevra Kedisha. In the event that anyone would be stranded, would be a Meis Mitzvah, use this for his Leviah. It's been sitting on the bank all these years. We've never used it. Let's use it." Fine. So they do it. And Mr. Rosenberg, that day, he has Kvuras Yisrael. He's buried Kedas for Kedin. That evening, the head of the Chevra Kedisha goes home. He's thinking to himself, what a strange thing, all these years. Who was it who gave this donation 20 years ago? He goes to his files, he opens it up, the name jumps out of the page, Mr. Rosenberg. Mr. Rosenberg. The guy 20 years ago came into Samani, gave a donation, probably forgot about it. Fine, life has strange unfoldings. He finds himself in this old age room, and this is the thing. He pays for his own Leviah. That is Hashgacha Pratis. That is the connection. That is why Chanukah always mikates, by Yigash. That is the connection. That's the message.